mama made across the floor. Says she right on out the door and into the glade, and everybody promenade.
You're tuned to the Square Dance Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, February 8th, 2012.
And you're listening to the Do-Si-Do Show, episode number 33.
Hi, I'm Dale Hodge, your host from Columbia, Maryland.
And I'm Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Hello, Dale. Hello, Square Dance community. Today, we're happy to present the fourth part of our interview with callers Deborah Carol Jones and her husband John Jones from Texas.
Yep, more laughs. My cheeks still hurt from recording this interview. So what did you do this past weekend?
I had a non-square dance, but full nonetheless, weekend. I had a little reunion with people I worked with in the 70s and 80s. The company disbanded in the mid-90s, but we've gotten together and just, you know, some small percentage of people get together once a year. And that Friday night was the night for that. And there's some people I haven't seen for a year and some people I haven't seen in longer than that. I know about half the people there, I'd say. So it's kind of fun. We just get together for a couple hours. And then on Saturday, I got to have dinner with two of my girlfriends and had choir practice and sang in church on Sunday and Super Bowl party Sunday night. That was a party of three, a very small party, but enthusiastic nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a busy weekend.
Wonderful.
What did you get to do this past week or weekend?
On the calendar, my Saturday said do nothing.
All right.
What actually ended up happening was a lot of cleaning.
Oh,
we were having a Super Bowl party. Yeah, we were having a Super Bowl party here on Sunday. So spent a lot of time cleaning, but very fun. I like doing just about anything with Kathy, so even cleaning is fun with her. And then we had the Super Bowl party. People showed up, played some games, watched the Super Bowl, laughed at both the ads and the comments about the ads.
Uh-huh.
Who'd you like to say hello to, Barb?
A little shout out to my friend Nan. She started me in my square dance career many, many years ago, and she was really nice, and she paid for our dinner Saturday night for my other friend and me. So a little thank you and shout out hi to Nan.
Excellent.
And you?
I would like to say hello to my sister. She lives in Pennsylvania and lives with my mom. Early on in life, our lives and paths really kind of diverged. Miss her and wish I got to see her more often, but she's a nurse, works every other weekend, and with my calling schedule, it's very rare that things line up that I get a chance to see her. But I just want to say hello to my sister, Robin.
Hi, Robin. Yes, see her as much as you can.
Yep.
It's fun to reconnect as adults, even if you weren't close as kids, I think.
Yep, well, indeed. All right, well, let's get right into the fourth part of our interview with Deborah Carol Jones and her husband, John, where we spend a lot more time laughing, smiling, and giggling about some of the stories of their lives separately and together. You mentioned that we should hear the story of physically moving Deborah to Texas. Can you fill us in a little bit on that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And John tells it much more effectively than I do, but we had rented a Penske truck and we had loaded everything in there and
all of her junk.
My precious heirlooms, if you don't mind.
Right.
And I had two very drugged up kitty cats in their carriers in between us in the cab of the truck, and away we went across three states. And at one point, John got tired and he wanted to take a nap and he wanted to know if I would drive. And I said, sure. So he was sound asleep within about 2 minutes. And so I'm just hurtling along through the desert in this truck, and I'm watching the gauges and I'm thinking, God, I'm getting so much better gas mileage than he is. I don't know what I'm doing, but man, I'm doing really good. So he wakes up about an hour later, and he says, I think it's about time we're going to need to stop for gas. And I said, no, baby, I'm getting great gas mileage. The gauge hasn't moved. And he leans over, and he looks, you know, and he goes, what gauge are you looking at? And I pointed to the one I was looking at, and it was the battery gauge. Oh. And we were just about out of gas. Yeah, so he saved us from being out there in the middle of the desert with no petrol. So, but wow. He'll tell you the story about when we actually hit the Texas line.
It was another one of those situations that I looked up and I said, Lord, you didn't tell me about this. This blonde-headed woman, there's no telling what I'm up against right now. So, anyway, coming into Texas on all of the major highways, there's a monument, the shape of the state, and a big welcome sign. So as we were coming east on Interstate 10, excuse me, coming into El Paso, which is, of course, in the far southwest corner, it was getting about dusk, and I started slowing down and pulling over to the side of the interstate, and she said, is there a problem? And I said, no, I want to take your photo here with this welcoming sign into Texas. Mm-hmm. So we got out and got the camera, and she posed for the photo, and we got back to the truck and went on the passenger side to put her in. And excuse me, I've got a problem with her. I hugged her, and I kissed her, and she had a smile on her face from ear to ear. And I said, darling, welcome to Texas. And like I said, she was grinning like you wouldn't believe. And then I looked her right straight in the eye, and I said, the rules have changed. It didn't work, but I tried it anyway. You know.
Well, she didn't run away, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a true story. And, I got my revenge, though, about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months later. John's not much of a morning person in that he's not real conversationally inclined when he first gets up. So I got up one morning, and he seemed kind of extra grouchy. And finally, I said, is something wrong? You seem kind of crabby this morning. And he said, well, you stole the covers all night long. And he said, all I had was just a little scrap that went over my knees, and you had everything else. And he said, you never used to do that in California. What happened? And I said, well, the rules have changed.
That a girl.
I said, that's kind of our war cry now, you know, when stuff happens.
Now, how long have you been there, Deborah? In Texas?
About 10 and a half years.
So I have to ask, because I know lots of families, lots of combined families and whatnot that bring things together. Is everything that you have out of boxes now and put away? Wait, Deborah, I'd like to hear John's answer to this.
Well, yes, but we traded boxes. Or traded items in boxes. I had to build a whole storage barn out here in the backyard to hold all the junk that she had. And it's still full, and every now and then we have to change it around, switch it out. I told her the other day, it's either use it or lose it.
Which is fine with me.
Yeah. We're going to use it all, aren't we?
Yeah, or it can go to the auction, whatever.
Yeah.
So getting back to some of the square dance calling, you had mentioned that the first time we'd heard the story, the first time that you did a singing call together, are there certain ones that you do that you really like doing together, and have you done any recording together?
Yeah, we have done some recordings for Desert Gold,
mm-hmm.
And we did No Bad News on that label with Vernon. We've also done some recordings for Global. We did a great recording called Never, Ever, and Forever, which is a beautiful song. And
we did Crazy Arms for Chaparral.
That's true. Those are the three that just popped to my mind right mm-hmm. now.
And I think there's also the song Islands in the Stream on Royal Records.
I have heard that one. That's good.
But we have a lot of different songs that what we did basically was look at the music that each of us had. And John can sing a great bass harmony, and I sing a pretty good third harmony. So we blended a lot of our music together, and there's just certain songs that we really enjoy doing. We really like to do a Good Hearted Woman.
Mm-hmm.
That gets a good response from the crowd. and
light at the river.
Mm-hmm. Light at the river on solid gold, and light the candles on Aussie Tempo. That's one that we get lots of requests for.
Precious and Few.
Yeah. I love the beautiful one, too. Yeah.
On that record song, Precious and Few, we don't sing the tagline. When we sing the last note or word, say the last word, we hold that note all the way through to the end of the record, including the entire tagline and the ending.
Wow.
And we will challenge any caller in the world that we can hold a note longer than anybody. So Tony Oxendine decided he wanted to get in on it. And he vapor locked about halfway through the note. He couldn't stand it.
Excellent. Barb, did you have a question you wanted to ask?
What do you think is the most fun part of the square dance world for each of you?
The most fun part, well, gosh, I love the music, love the singing, and love the people. But I think the best part, the part that just really touches my heart, is for me to be up there looking at the people and see smiles on their faces and know that it's something that I'm doing that put those smiles there.
Right. Don, how about you?
Well, I agree that is truly the most fun, to see the people having a good time because you're entertaining them. And also for them, in turn, to show their appreciation to me that they've had a good time.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has almost disappeared in the United States is applause for a caller after they finish their singing call.
Really?
And the dancers, the majority of the time, what we see is their rear ends where they've joined hands and bent over in the square after they finish the singing call, and applause for the caller has almost died out completely. We've been trying to revive it somewhat in various places around the country, but it's very, very difficult to do because they've gotten in such a habit of, as soon as the singing call is over with, to join hands in their square and to thank each other, to say thank you, which they certainly should do. Mm-hmm. One of the most pleasing times of calling that I have ever had was in Australia, where they will turn and face the caller and applaud like crazy after you finish the singing call. And the first time I went down there and finished the singing call, I had to walk off the stage to get them to quit. And that was a tremendous feeling to have that happen. And nearly all of the other countries of the square dance world do that, but we've just almost totally lost it here in the United States.
So we try to bring it back. We just try to remind them that we want them to share. We want to see their better sides. Because when they all join hands and dip into the center, all we see is their backsides. And so we just try to remind them to turn their shiny little faces our way and share some of the love.
It's not intended. The dancers don't intend to be rude at all.
No.
It's that it goes back to the beginning class of the training that they got from their caller. Whether they got trained to do it or told that it was a show of appreciation to do that, and our original teaching manuals that we had many, many years ago is still in them, that the dancers should do that and the callers should teach it. So most of them don't anymore.
Yeah, I always thought it was funny when I was a brand new dancer that we were applauding for ourselves at the end of a tip, and then somebody said, oh, well, we're applauding for the caller, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
Well, it's a combination of both, and our teaching manual said that when the singing call is, or the tip is over with, the dancer should applaud themselves and also acknowledge the caller at the same time.
So it's funny because
it's just one of those courtesies and niceties that has almost disappeared.
Yeah, we've worked hard to try to remind folks, and we got some feedback from other callers that they would come into an area after we had been there, and they would think, gee, these dancers really like me. and then they would realize that we had been there 2 weeks before. We had them all revved up, you know, to show the colors of love, and it makes a big difference. You want to give more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. You don't
I don't know how many times I've come home from a dance and 8 lively people, you know, if you've got a small dance, you've got 8, 10, 12 lively people, and you just send the energy out and it just like bounces back. It's, you know, if they're lively, and then you can have, you know, 10 or 15 squares on the floor and they all just say thank you and then walk off, like suddenly they're all at the food table. And,
yeah.
And it's kind of like you need to plug your battery in, you know, like, okay, well, I'm not getting anything back here. So it makes it harder to just keep that going. But it doesn't take many, you know, really energetic people to kind of get that feedback loop going to where all of a sudden the whole energy in the room is just exploding. And you kind of
Absolutely.
Wonder where did that come from and how did that build up like that? And it took me a long time in my career to figure out, you know, what was going on.
Yeah, we give it out, and if it comes back, then it just continues to accelerate and spiral up, and those are the magnificent dances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or a big, huge floor of everyone applauding for you and smiling and grinning and goes on and on. I've seen those.
Yeah, those are awesome.
I dance more at a higher level challenge program, and it's funny because we tend to give a lot of applause at the end of the dance because we don't have singing calls, and you know, sometimes we'll even break out in spontaneous applause if there's a little piece of choreography that's really good. But what's funny for me is at the end of the dance, at the last tip, everybody's thanking their square, and then it's like there's a big pause, and everyone starts applauding, breaks out into applause for the caller, and then they get really embarrassed because they're staring and applauding, and they hadn't done anything in the last 20 seconds.
That's good, John. I hadn't really thought about it much.
Yeah, I'm going to try to encourage my fellow dancers.
Yeah, that's what we have told, you know, encourage the others because you have to pass the word. You know, we can only do so much. And there's a little club out in Southern California in the L.A. area called Heels and Souls, and they have just decided as a club, by golly, we're going to do that. And they can't believe and how good it makes you feel.
Well, you pour your heart and soul into your best singing call, and you do the greatest job that you think you can possibly do, and end it with a tremendous crescendo on the end. And it's dead silence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I guess that went over good. You know?
Yeah, so I guess lots of people will hear this. So I guess the tagline for this piece right here would be your callers appreciate your appreciation.
They surely
right.
do.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it takes, you know, it doesn't take much, but, you know, it just takes a little bit of appreciation, and it goes a long way, and that caller will come in next week with a big smile on his face, and he will have worked all week to make it a better dance for you.
Yep.
Yeah, and what you were talking about are the niceties and the courtesies in our activity that callers don't teach anymore. They were not trained, apparently, and so they, in turn, don't know that they're supposed to teach these things, and it's like at the end of the dance. It used to be practically a mortal sin if you left the hall without going by and saying thanks to the caller.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, nowadays there may be a few, but the rest of them are either in the chow line or out the door.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm feeling kind of meek here. I'm the only non-caller.
Oh, no, no. Don't at all. You know what's going on, Barb.
I said you could be an ambassador for those things.
That's right.
I try to be.
You can be our advocate.
As far as other things about calling, I would like to ask each of you this question. And Deborah, we can start with you. What's your favorite program to call? You know, level or you know, program or type of dance or weekend or.
I really enjoy calling a good, solid mainstream program where I can venture into things left-handed if I call recycle, it can be from an arrangement other than with the boys on the end. Exactly. And I love that because that leads me into other paths of choreography that that can be really interesting and fun. And you know, every caller has their checkpoints when you're calling a dance. You throw something out there and, oh, okay, if they can do this, then they can do this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. And, so I really enjoy being able to call that. I also really love calling the PLUS program. So that's what I called the most, learning to call in Southern California. There were no mainstream clubs. They all went from zero to plus. Plus is the entry level there.
Okay.
And so you don't have the time to get as solid with mainstream and have a really good foundation for it. So sometimes the interpretation by dancers is that, well, a mainstream dance is a boring dance because we don't get to do Relay the Ducey. But they have difficulty doing any of the other calls from any other arrangement or starting anything with a left hand.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fun to be had there. And if that foundation is really solid, then any other programs that they might integrate in there do better because the foundation is solid.
Yeah.
So that's my level that I really like to call. And I love to call new dancer dances. Because everything I do is new and wonderful.
And John, how about you?
My forte is mainstream also. And I just feel like that we've got a lot of things in the mainstream program that have never been used out on an open dance floor that because callers are afraid to do it. In so many cases, as Deborah said, changing the arrangement are switching things around, and I've been known for working the program pretty good and was advertised one time in California calling a mainstream dance. The advertisement said the guy who really knows how to use the mainstream program,
mm-hmm.
and which I took as a compliment.
Definitely.
And also had some challenge dancers at the weekend that Deborah and I were doing that had dropped out of square dancing for 2 or 3 years, and they came back and the program was mainstream, and they made the comment that we made it interesting for them to be able to dance the mainstream program. It wasn't the same old thing that all the callers normally call in the same way that they always do. And a good compliment that I had at the national convention when it was in Birmingham, Alabama, you may know the late caller Mike Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And we had a session there that I was conducting of a DVD mainstream, and it was an hour long session. And I looked up and Mike and his daughter were out on the floor dancing.
Yeah.
Well, after we took a short break, and I said, "What are you doing in here?" And he said, "Well, I've always heard what you could do with the mainstream program, so I wanted to come in and find out for myself." And I said, "Okay, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Have a good time." So, I don't intend to be to break the floor down and where they can't dance all the time, but I do like to use different things in the mainstream program itself, and that's my forte.
That's great that you both say that, because so many callers who are considered more of the awesome singers, as I would put you two in that category also, some of them, to me, care a little less about choreography and making the patter part interesting for dancers. And it sounds like you both really want the whole dance experience to be fabulous.
We do. There's a gentleman who dances out in the Orange County, Southern California area that I met him a couple times before when I've been out there. And he had said something about that my choreography was a little bit different, and he was enjoying it. And he said, if I go to a dance and the caller calls, he had certain calls, that if the caller calls it beyond the allotted number that he feels is adequate, he leaves the dance. He just goes.
No.
Yeah. And I said, he said, I give you 10 Ferris wheels. And
wow.
He said, yeah. And he said, you've called 7. So, boy, I was on my game, you know. I was watching to see if, make sure I didn't call Ferris wheel. And I called a left-handed one, and then I said over the mic, does that count? And he grinned and shook his head, you know. So,
yeah, that's a different ball.
Yeah, it was interesting that I got that kind of feedback. I found it very valuable to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to know how, especially Deborah, John, I don't know if you do this too, but I know Deborah has taken popular tunes and parodied the words, and I'm absolutely amazed the dancers. How do you do that? How do you get that creativity?
Well, I wish that I could say that I created it, but honestly, Barb, my ears are always open, and I listen to any parodies, or, for example, the song Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, that I do as Don't Cry For Me, Pasadena. I didn't write that, believe it or not. It's my story, but it was a dancer for a club in Los Angeles, Tinseltown Squares. His first name is Herschel. I'm terrible on last names. And he wrote it, and he loves to do that sort of thing, and he gave it to his caller. And to say, here, you can do this with Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. And this caller was one of the few people at the time who knew that I had been a Rose Princess.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I've got to present this to Deborah, but we have to do it in the right venue. So we were doing a big class-level dance together. And about halfway through the dance, they brought me up on stage, and they said, it's time for you to go from being a princess to being a queen. So they had a lawn chair as my throne. And they had this lovely plastic tiara that they put on my head, and silk roses that had to be in some grandma's attic for 100 years because they had dust on them like you couldn't believe, and a nasty ratty old blanket that they wrapped around me as my robe. And then the caller sang Don't Cry For Me, Pasadena. Well,
oh,
I could hardly contain myself. It was so funny. So I told him, well, this is mine. Boy, that's my story. I'm doing it from now on. And that's where that one came from. And then Ghost Chickens in the Sky,
or
Ghost Riders in the Sky, I actually heard that sung on the radio when I was at a national convention in Salt Lake City. I was changing clothes up in the room, and I've got to have noise of some kind on, so I had the radio on. And that song came on. I had to stop and sit down. I was laughing so hard. And I thought, wow, I have that song for square dancing. Maybe I could change it around a little bit and take some of the lyrics and put it in there, which I did. I could only remember one of the verses purely, and the others I kind of had the general idea, and then I made my own and wrote it in there. But of those parody songs, I always figured that maybe they'd have a shelf life of a year or, you know, 2 years, and then people would get tired of them, you know. And they don't. Those are the two that I get requested for all the time. And the people that want me to do Don't Cry For Me, Pasadena, they'll just stand out there on the dance floor and start doing the Queen's Wave. And I know what they're asking me to do, you know. And at one point in time, I got kind of tired of always doing Ghost Chickens. And so I thought, I got to figure out a way to get people over that. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I looked in a catalog, and I saw a chicken hat in there. So I ordered this chicken hat, and it had a big, the white part of the chicken was what fit over your head, and then had a great big chicken head that came out the front, and then the long legs that dangled down. So I thought, the first person that requests Ghost Chickens is going to have to wear that hat through the whole thing, and they're not going to want to do that. It's going to embarrass them, and they'll never ask for that song again. So I don't know what I was thinking, because it backfired. Like, they would line up. I want to be the first. Am I the first one to ask for the chicken song?
Oh, my gosh.
So the chicken hat went bye-bye, and I just decided that if they want to hear Ghost Chickens, by golly, they're going to get Ghost Chickens, and I'm going to sing it like it's the first time I've ever sang it, because even though I've sung it 7 times this week, for them it's the first time they've heard it.
Yeah.
So I just had to get my attitude turned around.
Oh. So that,
that particular song, Ghost Riders in the Sky, has always been one of my favorite square dances, singing calls. And the first time I heard her do that was at a festival we were doing in Yellowstone Park. And the crowd just went crazy. And I thought, boy, she has really screwed that song. But they thoroughly enjoyed it. So I have spent almost 11 years trying to teach her how to do it properly, but it ain't working.
Well, why would I want to do it properly when John does such a wonderful job with that deep bass voice, and I can certainly get up there and one of the best compliments I ever had about ghost chickens was from a Kansas farmer who told me I did a really good chicken cluck. So
all right.
I'm proud of myself.
I tease Deborah after she does it, and I tell everybody that she has had 7 years of professional vocal training in her earlier calling years.
Uh-huh.
And what do we get out of it?
So, John, you have a story to share about dancers, you know, working together and surprising you with things? Or
yeah, I have had dancers wrap me in toilet paper while I was calling and make a mummy out of you.
Oh, yeah.
I have had them, whatever I would call, they would dance something else. Years ago, we used to nearly have to workshop every singing call because it had different types of figures in them. And you would teach them the routine that would be done, and then when you'd start the record, they'd all do a grand square.
Yeah.
And you think, well, you just finally have to lay the microphone down and say, heck with it, I'm not calling anymore, and walk off. I have also
square
had
through 125.
Yeah, right. Well, we had a caller here in Dallas that passed away several years ago. C.O. Guest was a great recording caller and a very good caller. And one night at a dance, he said, we used to do calls where they were turn back calls. You did an alley man left and alley man we and go right and left and turn back three. Count them off, boys, and have a little fun. Right, left, right. You turn back one, catch it by the left like an alley man bar. And those were neat things to do, and they all rhymed with each other. Well, one night he said, alley man left, just so nifty, a right to your partner and turn back 50, and I'm going to take a break.
Oh,
so things
humor.
Like that, yeah, things like that add a lot of humor to it. But I've also had dancers walk off the floor on me, start to call, and they just walk out the door. They've had enough. So things like that, they just add to a dance, I think, or any event.
Yeah.
If people do that, but that those type of things have disappeared also.
Yeah, that mischief.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. I've also had dancers, because I was used to be a pure sight caller as far as patter was concerned, and have them all square up same sex together and get in a square, two or three squares right in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Drive
or
you
mix
nuts.
It up in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I always do my best to call things they can't dance when they do that.
I had one time I was working at a resort, and the group came and asked if I would do ghost chickens, and I said, okay. So I got it on, and I got to the first thing of ghost chickens in the sky, and the women reached up under their petticoats, and they had rubber chickens that they had stuck up there underneath their petticoats, and I all of a sudden these rubber chickens came flying through the air at me.
Go ahead, honey. I had a club one time in another state, about the third tip, I think it was a plus dance, and about the third tip was the first time that I had called peel off.
Mm-hmm.
And when I called the call peel off, every woman on the floor had an extra bra in their blouse, and they reached in and pulled it out and threw it up on the stage at me. And they said they'd been waiting for two whole tips for me to call peel off, you know, so they could get rid of those things. Well, I just stopped calling, and I started picking up each bra and said, oh, I know who this belongs to, you know. And then finally there was one that was about a size double A, I think, and I said, ooh, who wonder who this belongs to? Nobody would claim it, you know.
Well, so something tells me that after hearing this, we're all going to be pranked here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
People go, really? That's okay? You used to do that kind of thing? Oh,
yeah, they'll punk us. Yeah. I remember one time I was calling, and all of a sudden the floor dropped to their knees, and they all brought out, somebody brought out a deck of cards, and they started passing out cards, and I stopped. I said, what are you doing? And they said, well, you called Wheel and Deal.
Nice.
I've also been pelted with ping pong balls for ping pong circulate.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should edit all this out, Dale. So
yeah,
we don't give them ideas, you know.
Well,
yeah.
Oh no, I think what we'll do is make sure that any time this happens that there's a video that can then be posted, and you know we'll put the fun back in.
I love it.
That concludes part four of our interview with callers Deborah Carol Jones and John Jones. What a great set of stories. I really love the whole moving to Texas story and and stopping by the sign and the rules of change.
And how she gave that back to him later, though. That was like female revenge, right?
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I loved it when he said that, but then I liked it better when she threw it back at him.
Yeah.
And, of course, my favorite part is I love parody songs. I've loved them since I first heard them on the radio. And when I heard Deborah do Don't Cry For Me, Pasadena, complete with the Queen wave and everything, I just bust out laughing when I saw that. So I have got to get a copy of her singing that somehow. There used to be one on the Internet a long time ago, and it was for a website for a square dance club. It wasn't YouTube. They didn't have that back then. And that website has since been put away, and we've lost that connection. That was the only place I could go to listen to it. So I want to get it from her somehow.
Well, look up her calling schedule. Take a flight, and when you walk in the door, beg her to do it for you.
I'm not going to beg for ghost chickens in the sky, though. I don't want to wear that hat.
I have not heard John and Deborah call together. But
no,
one of the things I'm really looking forward to hearing is when they hold that last note. Just feels like that would be very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. You can hear the applause coming now, right? All right,
yeah.
You people, applaud for that. This is good stuff. They tell a lot of good stories.
And we have one more week with Deborah and John as well. We'll hear other stories.
More fun, yes.
Yes, indeed. So, Barb, what do you have coming up this weekend?
I have a show at our local music theater stage, Marriott Show, is going to do Legally Blonde this week. I'm looking forward to that. And handbell practice. I'm not sure I can do this, but I've picked this up fairly recently, so we're going to see how playing the handbells works.
Sounds like great fun.
How about you, Dale?
I am going to visit my aunt and uncle. Callie and I are going to go visit them. I have always hated when people have looked at me and said, why do we only get together at funerals and weddings?
Oh, yeah.
And my aunt and uncle are not doing as well as they might be. Yeah, so we're really looking forward to stopping by and visiting them.
Yeah, I hope you have a good visit. That's nice.
Yep.
I think they'll really appreciate it, and you'll get some fun out of it, too.
Yep.
Good.
Indeed.
Good.
Well, thanks again to our guests, Deborah Carol Jones and John Jones, callers from Texas. Again, we will be concluding part five with them next week.
Yes, part five. And this is Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Goodbye, Dale. Have a good week, everyone.
This is Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland. Ciao, Barb. Happy dancing, everybody. See you on the dance floor.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.